and worry that Jesus said, guys, don't worry. I got it. I got it. I've got this. Trust me. Believe me. And as he's talking with them, what he's doing with them day by day, as he called them, is to begin to build a relationship with them and him and with each other. The whole kingdom of God that we're studying is about one another. Two of the greatest statements that Jesus made was the church, love one another as I have loved you. And secondly, and love your neighbor as yourself. The second one is, the world will know that you're a believer by how we love one another. How we love one another is what the world needs to see. And when you're together with other believers, the world is looking. You better believe people are looking at you and looking at me. They watch. I work at a company where 85-90% of the people are lost. And I mean lost. Their behavior demonstrates it. You're only lost. Lost isn't like being pregnant. You're either pregnant or you're not. But they're lost. And so they watch me. Now, there's really no one else there in the company that I relate to that I know is a believer. Not saying there aren't any, but they watch. They watch me. They see what I say. They're going to hear what I do. They're going to find out what is he like because they see me every single day, day after day after day. And the thing is you are watched. We're being watched. These disciples that Jesus brought to this, to himself to build a church, he said, guys, look, I'm bringing you together. I'm going to build my church my way, and then I'm going to send you out. You are going to go to be my ambassadors. You're going to go and spread the message that I once spread. And through the message that you spread, my church will grow. People will come to receive him. And in this relationship that we're learning about, we're realizing the word relationship is the key to it all. God, and I've said this over and over, is a God that wants a relationship with you. And Cindy came to me last Sunday and said, Danny, I want you to think about something. It was like one of those statements where it was like, she's right. She said, don't take for granted that people in this day and age know what a relationship is. I began to think about that. And I began to realize that there are many, many connections, and a relationship is a connection, having a connection with someone else. Now, if you notice, as believers, the connection we're growing in is a connection first with God, a connection with God who wants a relationship with us, and Jesus Christ has made that possible. And so when Christ dies on the cross and you receive him, there's no condemnation ever again in Christ Jesus. And so now you in God's eyes are qualified. That's not the best word. But you are no longer condemned. In his presence, you are no longer condemned. You come in here on a Sunday morning as a believer and we start worshiping and you thought, well, last night you did something or last week you did something. Deal with it. Tell God you're sorry. And then get on with it and worship God. Don't beat on yourself. That no condemnation has to do not with what you and I do to each other. It has to do with the fact that God no longer is condemning you. When you receive Christ and we come through this week of the Palm Sunday and the cross and the resurrection and the celebration that's in that experience. Because, see, Jesus didn't mean it to just be a God there. He meant it to be a relationship that Christ just comes into our lives. And he wants us to have a relationship. And one of the foundational truths of his relationship is to be a people of faith. And so we looked at faith and worry. Today we're going to look at another experience of faith with Jesus. We're going to turn to the 8th chapter of Matthew, chapter 8, verse 23, 24, 25, 26, and 27. Story many of you have heard. We read this. Then Jesus got into the boat, and the disciples followed him. Suddenly, a furious storm, just keep that in mind, we'll come back, came up to the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. Picture this. But Jesus was sleeping. Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." They were far more emphatic than that. We'll look at this why. He looks at them and he goes, "Oh, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Why are you so afraid?" This setting has clear help for us to understand our relationship to Christ and the place of faith. They are sailors. These guys are fishermen. Some of them in that boat are fishermen. They have done this day after day since they were little kids out in those waters in this boat. And they are now in a moment where something's happening and it's so bad that they scream out, "Save us, we're going to die." Now, expositors and scholars believe that what went on there was not just a little bit of wind that blew the waves into the boat. They believe that there was a movement of like a thundering roar that created a tsunami. See, they wouldn't have thought about dying with big waves flashing over them. They'd jump out and swim away. No, they said, "Do you ever see a tsunami happening? It's coming." They saw something coming in these waves, and the wind was blowing, and they knew, "We're done. We're done." They never had that before. And so Jesus is sound asleep. Amazing. And they wake him. That storm didn't even wake Jesus. The word storm is minimal compared to what was taking place. If you've watched TV, you've seen tsunamis that are recorded. That's what it was like. It was coming, and they were terrified. That was the word. They were terrified. They were going to die. That's it. They knew it. That's how bad it was. And Jesus gets up and he looks at them and he says, "You of little faith, why are you afraid?" He gets up, he rebukes the winds and the waves. It was completely calm. Then comes this next line. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this?" These were his disciples. "Even the winds and the waves obey him." He wanted them to know something. And he wants us to understand, I believe, is an application in this for us, is God wants us to know that faith, as we've been reading it, is a foundational experience in our walk with God and a foundational experience as we walk with each other. And God addresses faith in many different ways. The first one was in the faith of worry. Now, the next one he's coming to address is fear. Fear. I want to ask you a question. What are you afraid of? Is there anything in your life that you're afraid of? Don't worry, I'm not going to ask anybody to say anything. What are you afraid of? We all have that. Begin to identify that, because that has real bearing in your personal life. But it also has bearing then on how we're relating to one another. Jesus did this with his disciples in the boat, and he was showing them something that what he does and who he is has bearing on everything around them, including them, and in their relationship. And they all cried out, "Who is he?" They have seen miracles. They have seen people healed so far. I mean, it boggles your mind. Who is he? They're still amazed at who Jesus is. The amazing part of Jesus Christ. And that's what he's to be about for all of us. Not a religion, but a relationship. He's building a relationship with these men. And in that relationship, he wants them to know they do not need to live a life of fear. You can be together and not be afraid. Now, when Cindy asked me about relationship, you better believe I started studying. And I started reading about anything I could. Don't be impressed with ability. Just Google the words. You can find them quickly. And you can find more reading than you could imagine on these subjects. But I began to read about relationship, and I came to come and understand something. There's two kinds of relationship. There's a healthy relationship, and then there's what they call toxic, poisonous. There's those kind of relationships, I'm not going to spend time on that, that are going to hurt you and ruin you. Toxic, they call it. There's a whole lot of stuff in that that's contrary to what a good relationship is. But Jesus is building, when he's talking about faith, he's talking about people and how they live their lives with him and with one another. And he wants them to realize with him, faith is a lifestyle to be living. And when we look at what is a good relationship, I asked Cindy to write some things down. She laid them on my desk. And she probably said, you probably have all those already. And I'm going to tell you 10 things quickly. I just want you to think about this. And we're going to identify these as Jesus walks with his disciples on how he deals with each of these issues. He wants them to love one another. That's a relationship. He wants them to love him. That's a relationship. And that's what he's talking about. And so therefore, there are 10 things that I came across. There's far more, far more. And those of you who are involved in the mental health world probably could come up with many, many more. But to have a quality relationship, that's what they call it, to have victory over toxic relationships. Each person has to value the other. We can take application to each of these as what God does with us when we're received into his love. But we have to value one another. Second is trust, the ability to count on. Now keep thinking about these. Don't yet go there and say, oh boy. But think about these in relationship to God and you, how he values you. He wants them to trust him. That's where we're at. Honesty, integrity, no judgmentalism, good communication, anger control, kindness, commitment, forgiveness, and each needs to feel that the other is appreciating you. You need to feel appreciated. Now, these are 10 qualities, and it's amazing. Every one of those 10, Jesus deals with his disciples, and I didn't catch this until we got into this conversation. It's like I realized what he's doing with them is he's showing them, hey, these truths I am, and I'm going to teach you to have these in your life, then you can be what I am calling the church to become as a one another. Now, don't get aside here that you forget the Word of God. Remember, how's faith come? Faith comes by hearing. And how does hearing come? By the Word of God. It's the Bible we read. That's, we've talked this about this over and over. We read the Word of God. The more you read it, don't start and say, I don't understand it. That's okay. I guarantee you, the more you read a section of Scripture over and over and over, if it's 5 verses, 10 verses, or whatever, you read them over and over, all of a sudden you're going to start seeing things jump off the page to you. So don't feel defeated at the beginning. Just do that. It'll happen. That's how revelation takes place. And so it also comes in the word that's spoken. So faith is built in the hearing. And the things that we hear are the issues that can help us and our faith grows. And he's trying to tell these guys, don't worry. I'm here. I'm here. You don't need to be afraid. This is the question. The antidote to the fear is to trust him. Can you? Are you able to believe he says who he is and to trust him? We can learn how to have good relationships with each other, and we need to do that. We need to learn what that means, but we need to learn first to have this relationship to God, that we know who he is in our lives and what we're about. And that amazing understanding with him and us is the foundation of how we can then relate to each other. And that's what he's teaching his disciples. And if you can think about the fears you have, look, they're real. They are real. In life, you have all kinds of things. There's the immediate fear that all of a sudden, bam, something happens, like an accident taking place, or cars are spinning out in front of you on the ice, and you think, oh my word, you know, fear explodes inside of you. And there is fear, there's good fear, the kind that says, don't put your hand on the stove, it's going to burn. You know, there's that kind, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about that stuff inside that cripples you. That stuff that gets you the inability to sleep, that you're focused on it all the time. Because you're worried, there's that word, you're concerned about this is going to go bad. Fear connects itself to going bad. This is going to go bad. What hope is there for me in this? What hope? Cindy and I are working on telling our story when we get it ready to make it simple and clear on living that life when it looks like so many things are going bad, and they were, and what to do with that, and how he's taught us over 15, 20 years to really get a hold of this. Fear is connected. Fear is in your life. You have it. So what he says, guys, look, guys, relax. I am God. I am God. I don't want to put it. I am God. Don't worry. I can do anything in all things, and I my word is true. I do not lie. The whole Old Testament is about the covenant of God with his people. And when you read all through the Old Testament, there's a theme that keeps going all through there, that God comes and says, I'm making a covenant with you. That's what salvation is about. It begins to help us understand who God is. And he makes this covenant, and though they were rotten and good and a mess, and they did all kinds of stuff, sinful, etc., and so forth, his promise stayed with them. Now, they were convicted. They had to deal with this in their lives, but he never walked away from them. That's salvation. That's not salvation in the Old Testament. That's the covenant. But the salvation of the New Testament is a Jesus who's not going to walk away from us. He's not going to keep sleeping when you're afraid. He's there. And he'll get awake. Talk to him. That's what they did. They talked to him. They told him what they were afraid of. That's what we can do with him. And in that place, then, sit and watch what he's going to do. I don't know how he's going to deal with your fears and how he deals with all of mine. But he is. He is. I know a young lady whose whole life went down the tube because her husband has basically deserted her and her children. She had no job. She had no occupation. For 11, 12 years, she's lived a homemaker. Off he goes, lying, doing all kinds of things. Can't count on whether she's going to even get money from him. She was in a terrible crisis and was so afraid. 2 years later, she now has a home that she's living in, which was provided through an awesome, awesome story. A place real close to where her girls can go to school. She got a job with Christians, believers who appreciate her, and she, for the first time, is beginning to earn money to help begin to rebuild her life. If you'd have told her this 2.5 years ago, that this was what was coming, there is no way at that time in her crisis that there was nothing but fear and everything was going to go down the tube. That doesn't mean you still don't have it. The thing I want to tell you is when you're facing that, turn to him. If there's anything we've ever talked to about this young lady that Cindy ministers to even more than I, that just talk to him. Look to him. Look to him. Look to him and wait and trust him. Give him yourself. You'll be shocked and all at what he's going to do with you. And it will happen. How it will happen, I don't know. He does. Take your fears this week. Think about them. Write them down. Begin to ask yourself, and you can ask this yourself, do I trust you, God? Do I really, really trust you? Do I believe that you are going to do what you say you're going to do? That you're not a liar? That you've got me in your hand and you're not going to let me go? You're going to keep me to yourself, and you're going to give me your love, and you're going to pour the blessings of who I am in Christ into my life and into your life. Those are the qualities. He's in that boat with you. And you might think he's asleep, and he was asleep, not paying attention to you, but you better believe when you cry out to him, he's paying attention. Oh, yeah. That's what he said. And I close with this. There's a lady that came to a dinner where Jesus was eating and everybody was eating, and she kept coming and wanted to see him. And he says, I'm making this more modern. Leave. No, we're sitting here eating. Don't bother me right now. Don't bother me. She keeps coming back. And he finally grants her her wish, her desire, and says this. I love this line. Because of your importunity. That's a King James word I love. It's a word that means because you've been a pain in the neck and you have not stopped, I am going to respond to you. Now, Jesus doesn't use the word pain in the neck. I do. But her persistence, coming to him and crying out to him and saying, Lord, this is what I need. You know, Lord, he's crying out to him. He wants us to cry out to him. He wants us to cry out to him. The way in which you live your daily life will help you come to understand, where am I? Where am I? You do not need to be afraid. What's fear from? That you think this is what's going to happen. Or you're not sure what's going to take place. When those things are happening in your life, you're going to feel it. And there's other reasons to feel fear too. Relationships that are toxic. When you understand toxic relationships, there's a part of that that is totally destructive and creates fear in people. That's not what this is about, but it's there and it happens. And so therefore, I want to ask you this question. Do you know how to have a relationship? Do you want to have a relationship? You and I live in a day, and this younger generation out here lives in a day where relationships are difficult to have. There's friendship, there's workship, there's all kinds of things you can do with people, acquaintances, etc. However, you live in a day where now your relationship to people is this. And if you don't believe that, go to a restaurant. Sit and watch them. Who will pull out their phone first at the table? Now, I don't mean there's an emergency call, but who will pull out their phone? And then, you know, there's that advertisement, the dad and the mom are there and everybody's, you know, that kind of thing. But this is truth. If you think Facebook is a relationship, that's an illusion. It's an understanding about people. It's hearing about their social life. It's hearing about good and bad. It ain't a relationship. It's a relationship to this. FaceTime. Twitter. I always have to think about that word because I don't use it right. I mean, Donald Trump, our president, tweets every day. Day and night he tweets. And you might read every single one of them. Do you have a relationship with him? Absolutely not. And you may know every tweet he's ever... That always reminds me of birds. But a tweet. Every one of them. This is not a relationship. This is a connection to people. So realize, there are many things you can have in this that's awesome. FaceTime, Skype, all those things. They're amazing technologies. But if you believe that's your relationship to people, then all that is technology in you. That's it. I was with a man this week, and I close with this, very successful businessman. He lives in Delaware and is a customer of ours. He's one of my customers I take care of. I rarely see him because I see his son. I've had two times that he's been there. And it's a typical businessman that's in the world that I walk in. And so he's sitting there, we're talking back and forth, and we brought up about computer, and I said to his son, I said, I could have faxed this all to you, but I still am old school. I still face-to-face is important. And so I'll bring this to you and I'll talk to you about it. I could have done that easily. His dad then, when we're done, says, come here. Now back the hall is his office. He says, come on. He never asked me to come back. He goes, come back here. And then I walk in his office and he says, what do you see? I mean, this office has racks of gear that have 10, 12 points. How do you like that, David? He has athletic helmets, authentic helmets of football players. He has all kinds of memorabilia that's authentic and stuff. I'm looking at this going, what in the world does he want me to see? He says, see my desk? He says, what do you not see? There isn't a computer on my desk. Now, I'm not telling you to throw your computers out. I'm not telling you to do this. I'm even learning how to find scripture on this. I don't use it yet when I preach because I know I'll push the wrong button and it'll be gone and I'm going to be freaking out up here. But there are those of you who use this amazingly. Just realize this. You may have The friend thing, and I'm done. I'm going to get down a road here. I've got to stop. The friends crack me up. I've never hardly been on Facebook. Periodically, I open it up. I opened it this week. All of a sudden, I have 10,000 friends. That's a little exaggeration, but if I connect to all of them, it's like, who are these people? They're my friend. I don't even know them. Now, that's what life is. That's the way it is with us. And I'm laughing. And, you know, it's neat to learn some things. I'm watching now. I'm getting to find out what you are like. That's where we see the stuff we write now. But the point of it is this, is it calls you a friend. We're not friends with them, and you're not. You may have a friend that's been a friend. So think about this now, back to where we're at. Think about what you're afraid of. Then take the next step and say, what do I think about you, Lord? What do I feel about you? What do I believe about you? Can I trust you? That's the question. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We praise you for your love and your care and your concern for us. We praise you, Lord, that you've taught us and teaching us how to have a life that is full of loving one another, a church life that is like that with one another and with you. And so, Lord, we do praise you and we give you glory that you're the teacher. I do something at the end of all services, most all services, and I still want to do this every week, and I'm going to add something to it. I'm going to ask, if you're here and you do not know Christ as your Savior, he's not the Savior of your life, or you've been a believer, you've confessed to him that you want him as your Savior, but you've lived a life that's opposite of what a believer is like. His love has not stopped, but if you want to invite Christ into your life, she's going to play one verse. You got it? Something else?
Yeah.
I'll go with that.
Okay.
Is that while we do this or we get up and sing? That's fine.
As he was preaching, there's a song by Keith and Kristen Getty called Consider the Stars. And I don't know who this song's for, but before Dennis invites you.
When I invite you, I'm going to ask you to come up here. I'm not going to embarrass you to anyone. I'm just going to pray with you. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father. That walk is the longest walk you'll ever take in your life, but it's the best that you can ever have. So while she plays this, just reflect, and then we'll then stand up and close with the last song. Go ahead.
Consider the stars in the sky.
Awesome. Awesome. You still want to do the last song? You still want to do the last song? Let's stop. Father, there it is. I thank you, Lord, that we do live in a world that is horrendous and good and all kinds of things. But let that burn in our hearts that we don't need to be afraid of what we face. I thank you, Lord, that when we go out this door, you've said to us, go into the world. Let people be led by the Holy Spirit to have those meetings in a way that is a surprise to you, but it's an obedience to the Holy Spirit. And when we go out, we want to live that way, Lord. I want to grow in that, Lord, that I can understand in my relationship to you that you guide me and you lead me and you speak to me. You never ask me to do anything that violates your word, and I know that. So let us, Lord, be encouraged that we can go out and we can be, as Jesus said, go into the world and let them know what it is to be a disciple. Thank you, Father, that you've received us in all of our frailties. You love us in all of our frailties. You hold us in all of our frailties. And you give us all we need to live in a life that's victorious. We praise you for this. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Kirsten. You may leave. That's a contemporary benediction.